Hi, Lou Zant, your wine ambassador. Today I'm going to take some of my notes that I took when I was practicing for my levels of sommelier exams, and we're going to talk about food and wine. I'm going to take a quote right now out of one of my favorite books that says, "A century ago, life was simpler. Everyone just drank their local wine and didn't fret about the perfect match," quote unquote, "for a meal. Then wine snobs came up with rules. First, the rules were as simple as a red wine with meat and a white wine with fish. I've heard it say that whatever color food you're eating, match it with that color of wine. But food got more complex, and so did the rules. The truth is, food and wine pairing is highly subjective and inexact. There are certain principles that can guide you, and in the end, though, it's your choice. So just relax and enjoy your experimentation." I love that quote. So, you know, food and wine are like a couple of ballroom dancers. Each one affects the performance of the partner. And sometimes they're slightly out of step. Sometimes their footwork meshes seamlessly and it's beautiful. On occasion, they move as one in just a beautiful transform, a simple dance into a moment of magic. And even when both partners have two left feet, it's still a fun exercise. You know, if wine was a one-size-fits-all, you could just pick food from column A of a chart and a bottle of wine from a column B. At fine dining restaurants where wines are suggested for each menu item, the recommendations aren't picked out of thin air. Before anything gets into print, the chef, the wine staff, the wait staff, they all do taste tests and on the various wines with each course. I was having wine at the CIA, at the Culinary Institute of America. We were eating a beautiful pairing meal with my sister. And every single pairing was fabulous. I turned to the young gentleman that was a student and about to graduate, and I said, "You know, this is like the most perfect wine pairing I've ever experienced." And man, he sort of collapsed and said, "Thank you so much, Lou. I worked 6 weeks on this pairing. Can you imagine on one meal working 6 weeks on the pairings?" You know, it used to be you could order a steak and french fries and a glass of cab. Now, there's fusion food with 63 ingredients in one preparation. And which ingredient do you want in there to match with your wine? So, matching likes to like are important. And there are some guiding principles that'll point you in the right direction. The principles won't tell you exactly what to order, but they'll help you understand why some foods and some wines make compatible partners. And the principles are based on 4 tastes that the tongue can discern. And the idea is to match similar taste in both the food and the wine. Let's talk about sour, the sour taste in your mouth. Foods that have a sour component are good matches for wines that are high in acid. A salad with vinaigrette dressing and a fish fillet squirted with lemon both cry out for a high acid wine. Now, I want to do a sidebar here and give you a little bit of a way to test acid. This is what I learned when I was in school, and this is what I used to try to test the acidity in wine. When you take a sip of wine, put a puddle on the middle of your tongue. Keep it there, close your eyes, and count slowly to 10. 1 Mississippi, 2 Mississippi. If it's in the first 3 seconds that the little acidic bubbles of saliva start boiling up around that puddle, it's a high acid wine. If it's 3 to 6, it's a medium acidic wine. And if it's 7 to 10, it's a low-acid wine. So that's just a good way to experiment with it. So you're matching acid with acid. Notice that here you're not matching the wine with the fish fillet itself or the lettuce in the salad. So you're taking into consideration the preparation. Tomatoes, onions, green peppers, green apples. Those could be examples of high acid food. So what wines are some potential high acid wine partners? Sauvignon Blanc is a start. Also, the northern French whites of Sancerre and Puy-Fumé and Vouvray, and of course Chablis. The wines of Alsace, Germany, which is right there on the border of France and Germany, generally have high acids. The acids in reds are often masked by the tannins. Tannins are that dry feeling you would get on your tongue that comes from the skins, the stems, and the seeds. But safe bet are Italian wines. Why? I think 97% of Italian wines are built and designed to pair with food. So here's some example from low to high acid levels. Gewürztraminer, low acid. Phenomenal pairing with Thai food or Indian food. Pinot Gris, Pinot, or as it's called in France, Pinot Grigio, are low acid again. Soft buttery pairs with some of your spicier foods. Chardonnays could be medium to high acid. Champagne, medium to high. Of course, that's made predominantly from Chardonnay or Pinot or Marsal. Chablis would be a medium to high. Chenin Blanc a high. A Riesling would be high. And Sauv Blanc a high. So acidity is a lot more important in the taste and structure of white wines than red wines. And in red wines, the taste balance depends on these three components: alcohol, acid, and tannins. Remember that. If it's high alcohol, it was obviously a sweet wine to begin with, because what does the sugar do? Sugar and fermentation converts to alcohol. So there's only two components to consider: alcohol and acids, with acids providing all of the structure of a wine. So when you feel a wine tastes complete and delicious on your tongue, it's got great acidity. Okay, sweet thing. Let's talk about sweetness. Besides me. Yep. The sweeter the food, the less sweet the wine will taste. Makes sense. So let's say you're eating a slice of roast pork with a glass of off-dry Chenin Blanc. Well, the sweetness of the wine will be obvious. It should be a very good pairing. But what happens when you top your pork off with a pineapple glaze? And now your glass of wine tastes really dry. What happens when you get a dessert? Well, the rule of thumb is to drink a wine that's sweeter than your food. So even a moderately sweet wine can taste thin, unpleasantly dry, or even bitter when you pair it with a sugar blockbuster. So some suggestions I would make there would be, let's say, a pear tart with a beautiful Sauterne, a New York cheesecake, possibly a Muscat, bread pudding, and perfect with a late harvest Riesling, more of the high sugar. Tiramisu, tiramisu and port, kind of good. Dark chocolate mousse, maybe a Banyuls would be delicious. So is there a way to tell how sweet or dry a wine is before you buy it? We talked about that in the little thing you do on your tongue. But also look at the percentage of alcohol that's listed on the label. So generally, the higher the alcohol level, the drier the wine's going to be. The lower the level, the sweeter the wine is. And you know why? Because the sugar converts to alcohol. And that's the way you can tell definitely on Rieslings. So, next, just don't be bitter. Let's talk about bitter. So, when you eat food with a little hint of bitterness and drink a wine with some bitterness from the tannins, one that's higher in tannins, younger, it hasn't mellowed yet. Man, they can cancel each other's out with each bitterness. It's like they knock each other out in the first round, head-to-head fight, and you're the winner. The following red wines I'm going to give you are low to high tannin levels. So an example would be a Beaujolais, very low tannin level. Tempranillo, one of the two most grown wines in Spain. Fabulous food pairing wine, low in tannins. A Pinot Noir, soft, strawberries and silk with a little minerality at the end, low. Merlot, floral, beautiful little spice on the end. That again is low in tannins. Sangioveses, medium in tannins. Zinfandel can be medium or high depending on the winemaker. Syrah's going to have pretty high tannins. And Cabernet Sauvignon, ever taken a nice sip of Cab Sauv, and about halfway through the swallow, your tongue goes bone dry. That's high tannins. How about salt? Yep, we're the salt of the earth. Of course, you know there are no salty wines, but there's plenty of salty foods. Hams, smoked salmons, oysters, teriyaki beefs, all your spices nowadays on steaks. And the best wine accompaniments back from high acid wines, especially sparkling wines. Acid will cut the saltiness. Just like squeezing a lemon does. A lemon's very high in acid. You want to cut the saltiness, you squeeze the lemon on it. Okay, how about cutting the fat? So, to explain tannins, tannins react to a protein in your saliva. That's what causes the dryness. So, fat is a really combination. So let's take, for example, you made a cup of hot tea and your best friend calls and you end up talking to them for a half hour. You go back and you sip that tea. Oh my gosh, just dries and parched. What can change the effect of that tea? Can more hot water? Really doesn't do anything. How about lemon? No, it doesn't cut that tannin taste. Oh, a little bit of cream. Yeah, because cream coats your saliva glands, inhibits the saliva, so there's less to react to the tannins in the wines. So, maybe you've heard that tannin wines will cut the fat. Well, it's true, but not in the sense that they'll reduce the calories, damn it. Wish they would. So, wine tannins are attracted to fatty proteins, the fat in a steak, cheeses. What about charcuterie? Italian meats, how are they made? Very fatty, salamis, prosciuttos. So, a sip of wine and the tannin molecules, as they attract themselves to the protein molecules, and then they just take them for a ride across your palate, and you'll be able to taste the wine all the way through. What about spicing up your life? I hear you guys down in Texas. What goes with Mexican food? Well, when you take a walk on the wild side with your fiery dishes from Thailand or Mexico or India, choosing a wine can be tough. Your usual dry favorites somehow make an exciting heat of the food downright painful. Blame is on the alcohol. From a pain standpoint, you might be better off with probably a glass of milk, but that's not our option right now. A sweeter, low-alcohol wine is much more soothing match for spicing foods. A Riesling, a Gewürztraminer, a kind of a sweeter rosé even. And I love Zinfandel and Tempranillos with that. It's not foolproof, but one way to estimate a wine's tannin level is by its color. So the lighter it is, probably the less tannins in the wine is likely to have. And the longer the skins stay in contact with the clear grape juice that's fermenting, the more color and tannins they impact.